Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Ryan. Our regular show podcast will be coming down the pipe later today, but for now, a little bonus pop-up podcast. This is an expanded version of today's Reporters Roundtable, where we will focus entirely on this podcast on Western New York politics, and who better to discuss it than my fellow Western New Yorker, Niagara County native John Campbell. John, you and I spent some time in court yesterday. We were not in trouble, but a former and current state senator are in trouble now.
Yeah, absolutely. Had Rob Ort, the...
Who is Rob Ort? I mean, I think the casual political observer probably has no idea who this is. Who is Robert Ort?
Well, where do we want to start? I mean, he's a U.S. Army National Guard veteran, mm-hmm. Bronze Star recipient. He runs for North Tonawanda mayor, wins Tonawanda. I don't want to say Tondawanda. I know better than that.
That's right.
He wins. He was North Tonawanda mayor, and then George Maziarz makes the decision the longtime state senator mm-hmm. makes the decision in 2014 not to run for re-election, and Rob Ort was kind of a natural selection to run mm-hmm. for the seat, and he eventually won. So he was a state senator in 2015, 2016 for his first term, won a second term in 2016, and that brings us to now, at the beginning of his second term, and he was indicted on charges of offering a false instrument for filing.
Three charges for Robert Ort. He was adamant yesterday in his defense. Let's listen in.
I am saddened and I'm sickened at the ridiculous and baseless charges that have been put against me by Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. I have no doubt the only reason I'm involved in this case and was a part of this investigation is to make it more politically appealing and to further Eric Schneiderman's partisan agenda, which has been well documented. I'm not guilty, I'm not resigning, I believe that the truth will come out and I will be exonerated and vindicated. Thank you.
All right, you might have heard Tom Petty's solo hit in the background there, I Won't Back Down. he said he is not resigning, and Thursday Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan stood behind him.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really have much of a choice because he has a bare majority. He has 32 members, 31 Republicans, and Cynthia Felder, who is a Democrat who sits with the Republicans. If Rob Ort were to lose his seat, you're down to 31, and we've got chaos on mm-hmm. our hands. So he doesn't really have any choice other than to stand by him. That being said, I think he is genuine when he says that he believes in Rob Ort and, mm-hmm. and the work he's done. There's no love lost between Senate Republicans and Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General who's prosecuting the case.
Former state senator too.
Former state senator, a Democrat. That being said, I mean he has prosecuted both Democrats and Republicans. I think it's fair to point that out. But.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean it's a felony charge. If he were to be convicted, he'd be tossed out of the Senate, and we would have absolute chaos on our hands.
And we should point out that the charges against Mr. Ort are from his time as North Tonawanda mayor, mm-hmm. not when he was a New York State senator. We talked about this in the roundtable, where allegedly he was going to take a pay cut to become the mayor by $5,000, and so allegedly they had payments to his wife for essentially a no-show job. $5,000 over 4 years, which kind of, it's a little over that, $21,000, yeah. But
where it all goes back to is he was, at some point North Tonawanda combined their clerk and treasurer positions. So the job actually paid more than the mayor's salary. So he was the joint clerk treasurer. They wanted him to run for mayor, and according to Schneiderman's indictment and the court papers that surround it, he was wary of taking that pay cut, so the scheme was concocted to supplement his salary through a no-show job for his wife. He denies that. He denies it forcefully.
In fact, his lawyer, Steve Coffey, a well-known lawyer in Albany, said, I don't even know why the hell he's here today.
So, yeah.
they thought the charges were ridiculous. I mean, obviously, that's what they're going to say. So while he had three counts of filing a false instrument, the longtime state senator that he replaced, George Maziarz, was charged with five.
My attorney made all the statements.
I gotta be honest with you, I don't quite understand the Maziarz case. He was making payments, allegedly, to a former staffer of his who left amid sexual harassment charges.
Right.
So my thinking is, why would he, unless this guy's a total whiz, why would he continue to pay this gentleman?
Well, I mean, he obviously had long ties to George Maziarz. This gentleman is long ties to Niagara County politics. He was assuming it was a person who left in 2012 under a cloud of sexual mm-hmm. harassment allegations. The person who did that in 2012 in 2011 actually was Glenn Arano. He's a former Niagara County legislator. It's clear that they had a longstanding and positive relationship. And the Attorney General's allegations are that he wanted to keep him on his campaign, but didn't want to that publicly know. Mm. So they masked these payments through a pass-through entity, a public relations company. So it didn't show up on any of the campaign filings that he's paying this guy that was that left under a cloud of sexual harassment allegations, because that would be a public relations headache.
Sure.
That'd be difficult to explain. Both of the charges, or all of the charges against Ort and Maziarz, all are kind of the same thing. They are exactly the same mm-hmm. charge, but it's essentially accusing them of masking payments, you know, keeping payments hidden from public view that they didn't want the public to know about.
And again, I ask myself, well, George Maziarz is not going to have trouble getting reelected. Is this right. guy really that valuable to have on his campaign staff?
I don't know the guy personally.
Yeah,
I don't really know much of anything
out loud
about him.
Here, but
yeah, I mean, he's in trouble now yeah. because of it. But allegedly because of it. But and there's also there's reports that they're particularly in the Buffalo News that a separate investigation into Maziarz's campaign finance practices is ongoing, and it's the Erie County. District attorney is looking into that because the Niagara County district attorney had to recuse herself because her husband, Henry Witostek, the former Niagara County chairman who had longstanding ties to George Maziarz and apparently continued to work on his campaign after he stepped down, he pleaded guilty in this case. And it's believed that he's cooperating here and could be a pretty substantial witness against Ort and Maziarz.
And we had heard that Maziarz was being investigated by the Moreland Commission. A city and state did a very detailed list of things, the expenses that were questionable. But I remember when he decided to not run again for re-election in 2014, I was pretty surprised.
It came as a shock to all of us.
Yeah, he was number three, essentially, in the state Senate behind Dean Skelos and Tom Libous from Binghamton.
Well, it's just look at all of the investigators that have taken a look at George Maziarz at this point. You had the Moreland Commission. The Moreland Commission's papers were transferred to the U.S. Attorney, Preet Bharara, who has certainly been in the news, the former U.S. Attorney,
right.
I should say. These cases, I'm told, originated from the State Board of Elections, which
right.
has a now an independent investigator theoretically independent investigator. I don't mean to malign her or anything, but she's appointed by somebody.
Yes.
It originated from there and was transferred to the state AG. So it is lots of people have taken a look at George Maziarz's campaign finance records, and now we're finally, after years, starting to see the fruits of those investigations.
All right, let's move on to another Western New Yorker, Chris Collins. The current congressman who's part of the healthcare amendment called the Buffalo Bribe by some. He's on it along with Hudson Valley Congressman John Faso. Collins, I believe the first Republican in Congress to support publicly Donald J. Trump when he was running for president. Just a little background on him. He was former Erie County executive. A lot of people thought he was going to run for governor in 2010. And then in 2009, he compared then Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver to Hitler and the Antichrist. Never a good move.
That thing.
Never a good move from a PR standpoint, to say the least. That derailed his gubernatorial aspirations. He was then defeated by the current Erie County executive, Mark Poloncarz, in a matchup in 2011. And then he ran for Congress in 2012 against a woman named Kathy Hochul, who, of course, is now...
It's funny how all this stuff comes full circle.
Everything ties in. And Hochul and Collins had a back and forth, as did Andrew Cuomo. We were talking about this in the roundtable, and I think you put it in a very good way when you said Andrew Cuomo has been on the ropes thanks to John Faso and Chris Collins this week.
Yeah, he has been, absolutely. And you've seen him try to punch back as much as he can. And he's obviously taken the strategy that he wants to paint this amendment, this Medicaid spending amendment, which essentially would take the counties in New York, in upstate New York, outside and Long Island, outside of New York City, and the suburbs of, I should say, the northern suburbs, because I don't want to get into a where's upstate debate. But
that's for another podcast.
Yes, it is. And I'd love to be on that podcast. You know, he's trying to paint this as a disaster waiting to happen, that it would cost the state about $2.3 billion in funding. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to say that would be devastating for hospitals, for healthcare providers, for...
Cuomo was saying that.
For state taxpayers, yeah, because he says the state wouldn't be able to make up that gap. Mm-hmm. The Congress people, specifically Faso and Collins in particular, are painting the other side of this. Like, saying, listen, this is your county's single largest expense. You know, you always complain about property taxes. If you take this off their books, they'll be able to lower property taxes. So we kind of have this circular debate going on round and round and round. I will say, you know, Cuomo has been on the ropes, but there's been some glimmers of hope for him, including when the House postponed the vote on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We're taping this Friday morning, right. So we don't know what's going to happen on Friday. But, you know, that was kind of his first glimmer of hope here. So.
And Chris Collins said in one of the back and forths with Cuomo and his staff said, give me an hour and a half, and I'll find a way to plug that $2.3 billion hole.
Yeah, and his point has been like, well, this is about a 1.5% of the total state budget. Like, surely you can find
something. No big deal.
I mean, everybody has everybody is posturing on some level. Everybody is staking out their strategy, their public strategy on some level. This just has been a particularly spirited and angry battle between the Congress people and the governor, and we haven't really seen. So it's pretty wild.
Finally, to wrap up, you went to Buffalo last weekend for the NCAA tournament. Enjoyed a number of games. I'm curious to find out how Buffalo did handling that situation. We know about the fact that Uber is not upstate. Mm-hmm. Were there any protests or anything like that going on that you saw?
I mean, I didn't see anything in terms of Uber protests or anything. I saw a couple stories here and there that of people complaining about not having Uber, but I personally just based on my personal experience, not saying anything about the you know, where I stand on Uber or anything else, I had a incredibly easy time getting in and out. On Saturday, I took the Metro Rail in from UB. It was free all day, and I mean, it drops you off right outside of the arena.
Right.
On Thursday, the big time for the city to shine is between the first session and the second session of games.
Mm-hmm.
They had food trucks parked outside. I was able to stroll up, no line, and we walked around. I mean, there's more bars and restaurants in the area around the arena now,
right.
And I personally didn't have any problems, but I'm also, you know, I'm a Lockport native. I'm familiar with Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It might be different for somebody who's from out of town.
Final question: did you take a picture with Shark Girl?
Was
that only for tourists?
I don't know. I've seen Shark Girl. I certainly didn't take a picture this time. I don't know if I ever have taken a picture with Shark Girl.
Over.
I know my parents have.
I don't have that. Okay.
I don't think I have, but you know. And obviously, we're still talking about Shark Girl, so it's served its purpose
at
some level.
All right, our thanks to John Campbell for joining us today on the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter. His handle is @JohnCampbellGAN, which is short for Gannett. I think you have to change that at some point here, or what?
I don't know. I've had it for long enough now. I'm just going to leave it.
You can read his work in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, my hometown newspaper, the Binghamton Press and Sun. Do I have that right?
Binghamton Press and Sun Bulletin, yep.
And the Westchester and Rockland Journal News. All right, thanks for listening.